Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast, brought to you in association with TaylorMade Golf. Peter Finnan here, and joined once again by John Craven.
Yeah, not as always.
Not as always. I've been away doing a few solo runs lately, caught up with Damian McGrain and Leona. Since your car broke, I haven't seen you.
I know, stop. No, you've downgraded this pod. You've gone from Damian McGrain, European Tour winner, to Leona Maguire, LPGA Tour winner, to John Craven, Leixlip United under-12s player of the year. good to be back. Pete, how are you going?
No, all good. Kept busy. It's been a busy few days for all of us, busy few weeks for all of us. So we've a lot to get through since we last sat down together.
Yeah, no, a whole lot. But I guess there's only one man to start with. The man that people give out to us all the time. Like, why is there no one else playing golf out there in the world? And the reason we always cover him is because he's so bloody good.
He's class. The winner of the Grand Slam this year, as I called it, the start of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. No, it's been...
We definitely predicted him winning the FedEx. I know we have that on record. We had a feeling he'd come good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was no surprise. Like, I guess the only surprise was that Scottie Scheffler didn't really turn up on Sunday, but Rory did, in fairness to him.
What do you think? Did you watch much of it? I was all against this at the start of the week. I was hoping it would be made a spectacle of. Took zero notice of it day one, little bit of notice day two. Got involved a little day three, and then when it was sort of the rain delay and the weather delay, watch bits of it, and then got right into it Sunday. From the start of play, Rory played his way into the last group, and yeah, then the hooks were in. The format worked for me for a change. I actually liked how it ended up. Now, they got very, very lucky. Like, they poxed their way to a good tournament. Jay Monahan would have been a very happy man. But the format worked. It panned out the way they wanted it to pan out, and it kind of put pressure on Scotty at the top and trying to defend, and Rory just came at him, and he just didn't have a good game.
No, I'm right there with you. I watched all day Sunday, and I didn't watch a ball before that. I just followed it on Twitter. I hate the format, but like, it's not just this year. It gets good leaderboards, that format, because I guess you're guaranteeing the best players at the top, I suppose, and the lads who haven't really had a great season are too far back. But yeah, they're blessed to have like the world number one being chased down by McIlroy in the last day. I tweeted something out just watching it. Like, no matter what way that went down the stretch, I just feel like McIlroy's back. Like, he's a completely different
absolutely
player.
But he's been a different player since, like, he's since been a different player since the Masters. Yeah, 100% he's been a different player. And it's great to see.
Big time. I would have loved to see him like really nail that iron shot down the last and not to cook it into a grandstand, just to put any notions of a bad swing to bed. But like, the way he hit that drive down the last, if anything, the grandstand was a bailout. I know a lot of people are giving out about his drop. So, I didn't share that opinion. Like, those drops happen all the time. And yet, like, he fully deserved to win.
No, it's been phenomenal. Like, we've spoken about it so many times, and everybody does talk about putting, talk about this, talk about that. But like, you strip it back, he's like, his whole season, we spoke about it after the majors as well this year, like his stats in the majors this season, like how he didn't win a major according to those stats is just beyond me. But you look at like different stats that you'd turn up at the end of a season. You look, so after the Masters, Rory ranked 208 of 209 players in proximity to the hole from 50 to 125 yards. Since the Wells Fargo, his next tournament after the Masters, he's first on tour in that statistic. That's the difference. That is the difference. Yeah. Everything else, every other part of his game fell into place. He was like, he's just such a good ball striker anyway. But loads of people have said it for years, his wedge play, his approach play. If he gets that together, like Dustin Johnson did it years ago, and he got himself to world number one before he headed off to the other lot. But he worked on his wedge game from 1-2-5 and in. He got himself to where he really trusted every element of that game. And that's where Rory is now, with the driving, his putting stats are through the roof as well. You know, when Rory is striking the ball like that and he's putting well, it's game over.
Yeah, like, he just has such a variety of shots now that he used to have with his wedges, and for some reason just abandoned them for a few years there in the middle. But yeah, like, the way he can flight in a wedge now, he plays the sawn off shots, like, all the commentators are talking about it the whole time. He just has such an extra string to his bow. His driving hasn't even been that good. It was very good last week. His driving accuracy hasn't really been where he wants it this year, but I guess when you hit the ball as far as he does, it doesn't really matter. Like, your proximity from the rough is still going to be fairly decent.
That's it. You're better. You're nearly statistically better hitting a wedge from the rough than a six iron from the fairway. So you're better off just bombing it out there.
I think it's class. Like, the game's so much better with Rory playing well. I just think it's inevitable that he wins a major next year. Like, I've had all these doubts about him, and it's always about his mindset. But he just seems like a totally different player. Like, he has that bounce in his step. I just think he believes again. Obviously, he didn't do it at the Open. Like, that was the real sickener, especially with the news today that Cam Smith's officially gone. We'll get into that later. But like, any other day, that you don't have a lad charging at you with a 64, and he wins the major, and he wins a FedEx Cup, and everyone's talking about Rory McIlroy winning bloody everything before him next year. But I feel like that's the way he's kind of been trended now all year. What is, like, 3 wins, 10 top 10s, 26 mil, like, all those top 10s at the 4 majors as well. Like, it's just an unbelievable year, and we're so lucky to have him.
It's savage. Even I seen McGinley put a good tweet out, a huge congrats to Rory, whose game now matches the quality of his driving. Interesting, some of his best success have followed huge disappointment. Think Augusta 2011, Portrush 2019, and St. Andrews 2022, a hallmark of all the greats. He's dead right.
Yeah.
He's dead right. He just, when Rory is under the cosh, and like, you see a lot of it online now as well, which, you know, oh, Rory saved golf, he did this. Like, he didn't save golf. Like, people need to cool their jets. Golf will be perfectly fine without Rory McIlroy, but we're blessed to have someone like him. But it would be good to get into his mind, and I'm sure he'll go into a lot of detail between now and the end of the year as to the amount of distraction that man has had in his head this season. It's scary. Like, when you hear him coming out in the press conference and said, like, 2 days after Cam Smith beat him at the Open, he rings him and is saying, listen, we're going to have a meeting here. Just want to make sure you're armed with all the right facts before you make this big jump. It's, you know, he's dealing with this front on. Like, he is basically doing Jay Monahan's job for him. Him and, like, Tiger's not at all these events. Rory's at a load of them. And, yeah, it's a big burden, and he's carried it so well. And I don't know, he seems to be thriving in the distraction away from the golf course, that it's not all his playing, that he's involved in the politics of the game and, to many people's view, the saving of the game, of the professional game as we know it, the traditional game. He seems to enjoy it, and I think it's a good distraction.
Yeah, whatever about saving golf, he's definitely done serious work for the PGA Tour. Like, without him, I wouldn't have been surprised to see a few more in that top 20 go.
Absolutely.
Like, Cam Smith. Yeah, Cam Smith's the only man who seems to be like, sorry, mate, I'm bloody out of here. but, like, yeah, and, like, and he's obviously a loss. But, like, do you hear the respect McIlroy's held in now? Like, Max Homa was talking him up during the week, and lads who are trying to get their head around how he can produce that kind of golf and at the same time be the front man for the PGA Tour. I'm sure he's knackered. Like, he was saying, he has all of, 9 days off, and now he's back in Europe for Wentworth, and he's already committed to Italy, and, like, he's, people forget, he's bloody winning the race to Dubai as well, as it stands, like, so he's gonna have a push to that towards the end of the year. No, like, Jay Monahan is a lucky man, because, like, I don't know anything about Jay Monahan apart from what I see on a press conference, and he doesn't exactly inspire me to go to war with him. Obviously, McIlroy and Woods in that meeting have rallied the troops big time. PGA Tour put their money where their mouth is, found some cash, the product's better next year. It looks like a really good place to play next year, which makes the Cam Smith decision all the more bizarre for me. We'll go into that later. But, yeah, I just, fair play to McElroy. Like, I just love it. He said, like, someone asked him, why is he so good at the FedEx Cup? And he said, because I think out of anyone in the field, I care the least about the money.
Yeah.
Which is easy to say when you have a couple of hundred mil in the bank, I guess. But it's true. Like, the FedEx Cup will never be that prestigious a thing in my mind. Like, it's the FedEx Cup. Like, even the name means nothing to me.
It's just corporate.
And that's why it's completely corporate. And, like, Liv is an extension of that, basically, and a worse one in my mind. But, like, McElroy said himself, it's the majors are what are going to... He'll live and die by them next year, and hopefully he can bring all this confidence into them.
Do you think that, like... I'm mixed about all these new, like, elite field events and what the PGA Tour are doing, how they're going about it. It's great for the guys at the top of the game, but, like... They literally are, and I know Greg Norman sent a few bits, like tweets, and they literally are copying what someone else is doing with these elite fields. It's like, on the face of it, you're really rewarding the guys at the top, to stop them going, but there's a borderline losing that sort of tradition. Like, you're making it all about the money no matter where you go.
Yeah, I think top players are, like, you're always going to have to pay them what they need. I don't think they're copying Liv. I think, for a start, I think, like, Liv copied...
I don't mean copying Liv in a way. It's probably a weird way of putting it. I mean more, like, it's a bit crass, the amount of money that's at the top of the game, and it's bad that the PGA Tour have to bolster these fields that are already fucking huge events.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to add 5 million here and 10 million there and... do this and do that, and they're literally changing the whole landscape. Like, we got the press release this morning about six, like, Luke Donald's gonna have 6 Royal Card picks for the Ryder Cup, never been done on the European side before. Like, it's game changing stuff, and it's having massive effects. When you hear, like, John Rahm during the Tour Championship being quizzed up as to playing these elite fields, and everyone's probably seen the interview at this stage, but his reaction, what, we have to play all 20 events? And he's going, oh, well, they might have to change the rules here for that. Like, I can't see that working. And they're reactive rather than proactive. Like, I know we've said it before, this should have all been done years ago. They should have.
Exactly, yeah.
They should have. Yeah, they had the steel and everything, and now they're literally reacting to everything something else is doing. And, yeah, like, Liv are just chipping away.
Unfortunately, they've no choice but to do it on the fly at this stage. And if it wasn't for that player meeting, God knows what would be getting done. Like, that wasn't so much a, we'll have 20 of the best players in the world gather together and give our suggestions to Jay Monahan. It felt more like, here are our ultimatums.
Yeah.
Like, you get us this money and we'll stay in the tour. And that's kind of where it's at. Like, I hate the word meritocracy. Like, I never even knew what that bloody meant before this live stuff got into golf or whatever. But I do think there is a difference in that any player on the PGA Tour can play themselves into this top 60, maybe, they're talking about, to get into these elevated events. Yeah, the top 20 are going to make a fortune from the PIP, like the player impact program's been increased to 100 million. And, like, it's always going to be, like, going to be beneficial to be in that top 20, but I don't agree that it's haves and have nots. Like, I think the elevated events are going to be accessible for almost every tour member should you play well. On top of that, they've given a 500 grand buffer, which isn't an awful lot for someone who's actually going to retain their tour card. Like, you're going to be in the million probably if you're going to retain your tour card for next year. But I was chatting to David Carey, and he's trying to get through Corn Ferry Q School, and, like, the dream is to get on the PGA Tour. But for someone who snatches a PGA Tour card, like, to go and actually have a buffer zone of 500 grand that you're guaranteed is big, because you could just as easily go bankrupt without that, chasing the dream and not getting it.
Seamus Power bounced and changed. Like, he bounced around that and changed around for a bit, and, like, I'm sure that would have really helped him. Like, he's making big bucks this year, but in previous seasons, that buffer would have been great when you're coming off Corn Ferry, because... Like, if you're not coming off Corn Ferry, you're not really making money on that tour, even though the prize checks are quite big. You're spending pretty much what you're earning to get there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think they brought in, is it 5 or 10 grand for missing the cut as well?
Five.
Like, again, like a handy thing. So, like, there is, everyone is benefiting. But at the end of the day, like, you see these tour players. Like, if I couldn't name 200 PGA Tour members.
Yeah, but this is the thing. We say it's benefiting. And I'm disillusioned with this, that, like, everything. It's my worst nightmare from what we grew up watching, as in everything is PGA Tour, PGA Tour, PGA Tour. I do not hear, like, European Tour are not, they're not in the halfpenny place in any of these things. They're so quiet. It's ruined. Like, it's broken this side of the Atlantic. And I don't know where our future is. I'm really looking forward to catching up with someone between now and the end of the year, like Paul McGinley, and asking, like, what is being done, or what? I know they're probably swimming, paddling like crazy under the water, but nothing is happening. It's all geared towards PGA Tour. These guys are coming across, and like you hear Rory saying about 18 of them playing in Wentworth next week. Like, it is an absolute slap in the face to the whole of the European Tour and anyone associated with it and anyone that follows it. It's just, it's sad.
There is a lot of chat that, like, if Pelly is less strict on whatever is going to, like, come about these live players defecting, as people say, like, if there is a window back there that he could get as many live players as he wanted into those European Tour events, like, there is talk about that.
That's the only way they'll survive. Pelly,
yeah, like, at the minute, I don't see what Pelly's getting out of the strategic alliance, so I'm completely with you on that one. And like, add in the whole world ranking fiasco and how it's divvied out in Europe, and there's literally no hope.
There's not, everything is grim. Everything is grim on the European side, and it's all great in the PGA Tour side for the top 60 guys. Outside of that, everyone's scrambling by the looks of it, like, just to get onto that gravy train.
I still think you're making a fortune on the PGA Tour, even if you're outside the top 60. How much did Cameron Trungal just join LIV? His career earnings, like, something stupid. Like, having never won, he has about 17 million,
I think he made.
Is that it?
Yeah, he's banked 17.3 million from 338 appearances. Like,
yeah,
nobody's like made more money on the PGA life. Tour without winning an event. So,
yeah, like, it's a tough one. Like, Lee Westwood's been incredibly outspoken, which is his right. I saw Eddie Pepperell saying, "Listen, Lee, you've gone now. I'm not sure what to make you."
I loved Eddie Pepperell saying, "Yeah, you've taken your cake. Now go into the corner and eat it." Did you see that? That's what he said to him.
Yeah.
If you're going to take your cake and eat it, just go over to the corner there and stop rubbing our faces in it. Fair play to you.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree more. Like, just like you talk about differences between what the PGA Tour are doing and LIV. Like, how many elevated events would Lee Westwood get in? Like, at the minute, LIV is still overpaying players for what they're worth. Now, their field is a lot better for Boston this time round. But how many more players are they going to get, I wonder? Like, the PGA Tour, and I know I'm just talking about PGA Tour, like, what DP World Tour is a totally other discussion. But for lads like Cam Smith or whoever who could base themselves on the PGA Tour and play, say, 20 events, like, it's a bloody good-looking deal for next year. Like, you're talking 20 million minimum purses. And just, you are going to have limited fields.
I'm interested to see. So we've just got the, you know, the, we'll get into the live stuff in a bit, but like, we've got the press release there of Lahiri, like, all confirmed: Tringale, Mark Leishman, Harry Varner, Joaquin Neiman, and Cam Smith, all gone. They haven't announced the full field for Boston. Be interesting to see who gets dropped off. Because
the full field is out now.
Is it?
No, it's out. Yeah, it's very hard to see who's dropped off though. Like, Chase Koepka's still in it. Don't know.
Yeah, but he will. As someone like Richard Bland and guys like that, you'd hope that they're still there. Like, I don't know. This has gone way beyond good versus evil. Where's the money coming from? What, like, this is, and Rory McIlroy hit the nail on the head. It's like, it's horrible for golf. It's horrible to see golf being carved up like this. It's horrible that, like, watching the playoffs. I miss Brooks Koepka. I miss Dustin Johnson. Like, they're becoming irrelevance now because I don't get to see them, and I miss that. Like, there are staples of, like, Bryson and got, like, it's so sad. It's so sad what we're getting into, litigation, It's so sad that we're every week having to give like a segment to Live when there's so much other stuff going on, and it's players going across, and where do you draw the line? Like, there's another six gone. Like, like for them in their whole season long thing, I think Boston was a big thing anyway, this event next week that they had eight events, and I think you had to play five of them if you want to qualify for the four or five of them if you want to qualify for the last event of the season, their sort of grand final thing where there's more money than more money than more money. So yeah, like this was a big event for guys to get in and get involved and actually qualify for that. But I just don't know where it's all going to end, and like it's so disheartening. I'm real despondent about it now. I've never been sad looking at the whole landscape of it, because it's been a bit of fun for a while of, oh yeah, this and that. It's like pantomime stuff, and oh, we won't miss him. But like, there are big players gone there now. Like Cam Smith, I know everyone's going to be online saying, oh, we reported this. In fairness to our own Bernie Maguire, he caught that like literally the day after the Open. He had it up, and he blew our website up putting it on. We had lads from Australia ringing from radio shows and talk stations going, hey, mate, can you come on the show, hey, mate? Yeah. We're like, no, we're not getting involved in any of that. Like, everyone got in touch. And, yeah, it's so sad. When you see guys like Cam Smith, I'm like, it's just like Joaquin Neiman. He's a class player. Yeah. He is a serious, serious operator. Even Varner, everyone that talks about Varner is, you know, they're signing players on the up now.
What was taking Varner so long? I was waiting for him to join Liv years ago.
Yeah, I know. He's a founding member.
Absolute Saudi assassin with that 50-foot putt. Yeah. I've been sad for quite a while on this one. And there's no doubt golf is definitely poorer for these guys going.
Have you got trains flying by you there in the background?
Yeah, the joys of being on a train line. I'm literally immune to that these days. But yeah, like, you look at the field here, I'm looking at it, Richard Bland's still in. But yeah, you have DeChambeau, Garcia, Dustin Johnson, as like Keimer, literally, yeah, irrelevant. Brooks Koepka, Leishman, Mickelson, like they're quality players. Like, and you still have like Patrick Reed, Schwartzel, Cam Smith. Like, just, yeah.
When does it come to tipping point, right? When does it come to tipping point for fans like you and me? There's so many people out there, oh, I'm not going to watch Live. No, it's bullshit. It all has been pros and all. But like, they're finished and they're just going there. It's a retirement tour and all that. Now there's younger lads going and there's major winners going and there's guys into all these events and they're like, there's a lot of wins from last year's PGA Tour now on Live. There's major champions current now in Live. Like, this is probably the first event of the Boston event, Live, that it's on my radar now, and I'm actually going to watch it, all of it, like I would any other golf tournament. And this is slowly creeping its way in. It's taken 3-4 events. They know it's going to take one season, and when they come out with their setup for next year, it'll be different again. And this is evolving into something that is actually viable now, is what I'm trying to get at. And it's enticing me in.
Wash that mouth out.
It's enticing me in. These are serious players. I just want to see the best players in the world. And like,
I hope to still see them at the majors next year. I think, like, I can't blame, I don't know what people expect the PGA Tour to do. I think that it has to be a blanket ban on a player going to Live, because clearly that's their priority.
Forever. Blanket ban. They can't come back. Jay Monahan said they can't come back if they ever won. I just think,
I don't have an issue with it. I like, because how many events are they going to play on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I don't. Like, they're going to play. There's no future in this.
Well, like, there's 40. If it's only 48, I think there's a future. Because these golfers are so replaceable. Now, there's a few characters there that, yeah, you definitely miss. Like, you miss Dustin Johnson. You miss the villains. Reed, you'll miss DeChambeau. Like, there's an awful lot there that you won't. I don't, like, I've no doubt that that's a good field. Like, it's a better field than I thought they'd have at this stage. But how many more are going to keep going?
Well, it's a better field than anything is going to be served up on either, if you discount Wentworth and Dubai.
Yeah.
It's a better field that anything is going to be served up between now and the end of this calendar year on either PGA or European Tour.
It might become a thing that the DP World Tour just swallows their pride and invites all these lads to play as many events as they want throughout the year.
Would you be like, comfortable with that? I would love that. I think that needs to happen. And like, I'm not involved. There's lads would die before they do that. There's lads. It's turned into like an Eddie Pepperless case in point. And for the record, I agree with a lot of what Eddie says, and he articulates it really well. And he's not too shy about putting his personal views out there. But like, this is just, it's got too big now. The European Tour literally are heading for extinction. Yeah, and that's not exaggerating.
If that is the course that they're on, then like it might well be in their best business interest to invite these lads. I don't know what that does to this alliance that we talk about, like even having co-sanctioned events. Would that be a thing of the past? Like, you'd feel like it's a pretty divisive thing that the PGA Tour won't like. But yeah, I just don't see what the DP World Tour get out of this arrangement, full stop. Like, if the PGA Tour announcement included a few global events, then brilliant. But by the sound of things, yeah, and even the ones that are yet to be announced, it just sounds like it's going to be the John Deere Classic, and the next year it'll be a different version of that. So yeah, it is a two fingers. Like, the PGA Tour, like, and people would have said this is copy and live, but they should have said, we're going to have an event in Australia that lads are going to play, and we're going to have an event in Asia. They probably will anyway. But yeah, one in Europe, just get around. They didn't do it. They probably will in a few years' time. Like, it's very clear with the signings that were announced today by Liv that they're trying to get a pocket of all corners of the world. Somehow Matsuyama is not going to be one of them by the sounds of it, even though by all means he's been given a blank checkbook just to write down his number.
Yeah. And Cam Young,
yeah, that's a bizarre one. Like, the bottom line is, whatever about the lads outside top 60 or outside top 100, if you are a good player on the PGA Tour, you are going to make a fortune next year.
Yeah.
Like, and you're not going to be prepaid to do it. Like, 500 grand isn't prepaying any top player.
No.
And that's, like, at the end of the day, I'm still going to support that, and I'm going to support the history of the tour, and I'm going to support the events that I know. And I'll look at this LIV thing this week, and I'll just think, like, what is it? Like, I still don't get it. I don't get the context of it. I don't get, like, is it an exhibition? Like, it is, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, what's the FedEx scoring?
What's the scoring going to be like, though? Like, if these lads start going out and getting a proper competition, and if lads start, like, low 60s, and you're, like, you can actually
see... That's
happening
now. That's when these guys are coming in. Thing. Yeah, well, when you've Cam Smith and Neiman and guys like that coming in, that's a given.
Well, let's see. Now, is it, though? Let's see how well Cam Smith plays next year now that he's signed on for apparently 140 million. Like, let's see how his golf suffers because of that. Because, like... I don't think he's going to put in the same amount of work that he would have on the PGA Tour. The majors still hold the key for me anyway. And, like, obviously world ranking points as well. But it'd be very... I think, and it kind of hurts me to say it a little because, like, in an ideal world, I want these lads to suffer because I disagree with what they're doing so much. But it will make the majors a very interesting prospect next year if you're mingling these lads with the so-called status quo. And there's a rivalry there that golf hasn't had in... forever, like, since
it turned into
Woods.
Like, we said it a while ago, it's turned it like it is literally Monday night, like the boys now going Monday Night Raw, Tiger and Rory out doing their own little thing against fucking SmackDown there on a Wednesday, and that's it, Raw, Nitro, switch over to Nitro, watch Hulk Hogan and Razor Ramon fighting each other on the other channel, like, it's just that's the way it's gone, like, and it's too late now, like, it's so disjointed, it's too late, these guys. The only way I feel golf will ever get back to the way it was and the way traditionalists like I think you and I are, will be for Jay Monahan and Keith Pelly just to sail off into the sunset. Just get rid of the guys at the top. And, like, if the players are the ones that are actually own these tours and own that, like, let them all get in a room and let them all sort something out, trash something out. But Liv, I just think they've backed Liv into a corner now. It's like this rat in a corner job, and they've backed him into a corner where they probably would have dealt 3 or 4 months ago. Now they're big and strong, and they've loads of money behind them, and they're being accepted by people, and it's going to gain traction. And I never thought it would be like it this far, but it is, and it's just not good. It's not good.
It doesn't feel like players have... really accepted Liv as a thing. Like, there's a lot of tension there between players, and a lot of lads not agreeing with people still going. Like, there's a huge rivalry there. Whatever about getting rid of Jay Monahan and Pelly, I don't see what difference that makes if they have Greg Norman calling the shots. Like, the amount of pettiness at the top.
He'll be gone soon as well. There's no way he'll stick around. Yeah. He'll sail off into the sunset. There's no question about that. But I just... Yeah, I'm down. I've never felt like this looking into like the end of a season. I'm down. Like, on the back of a Rory win as well. Like, I'm his biggest fan. I'm talking him up every week on this, that, and the other. And I love his press conference afterwards and the honesty of Rory McIlroy just saying, like, it's going to be hard to stomach going eye to eye with these guys at Wentworth and facing these 18 LIV guys. Like, I think the worst thing the European Tour could do is put them in a group and put put all the LIV guys together. I think they should mix it up. I think they should actually, they should put Rory McIlroy with Lee Westwood. I think they should do that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. There's no need for segregation. I haven't seen, like, Rory saying that sick to my stomach thing, that was a line that he hasn't come out with. Like, for the most part, he's been like, I respect what they're doing over there. That's fine. I'll do my thing over here.
Yeah, but that's just hearsay. He doesn't respect what they're doing. He is repulsed by what's going on. And, like, yeah, it's just...
Nah, we'll see what happens. Like, if the outcome of this is a strengthened PGA Tour and a field that doesn't really get much better than it currently has now, like, assuming these 20 lads that got in that room, Barkham, Smith, are actually genuine... and men of their word, which is a huge if. Yeah, I think it's so he was the one that didn't. So because Smith wasn't in the room. Yeah. So Neiman was the only one who wasn't on the page.
Can you imagine the info he's bringing back to this lawsuit that these boys are filing, like, and subpoena and Tiger and Rory and stuff like to come, and what was said in that room? Like, if he gives a personal transcript of what was said in that room and there's anything derogatory at all, like, he's an employee now of LIV Golf. It's going to get so messy. He said this, she said that. Like, he's going to be handsomely paid for his time and his intel and his money. Like, that. How valuable to LIV Golf is it to have a mole in that room, like, to come back and literally feed them everything? Because we've probably only heard a quarter of exactly what was said, what went on, and the plans.
I'd say how valuable, I'd say worth... about the same price as a bag of coal, which I guess is kind of valuable these days. That they're being led by a solicitor called Larry Clayton, who is an absolute headbanger, tried to deport Barack Obama, amongst other things, in a glittering portfolio of failure. If you get into that aspect of it and you see the personality siding with Liv, it just becomes an absolute...
It's murky, it's dirty, no? It's an absolute shit show.
No, and yes, like, there's embarrassing days ahead with these subpoenas and lads going under oath who lie for a living. Like, give me a break. Like, yeah, it's embarrassing. Anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. If this is it, and if we only get all these guys together for 4 weeks a year, I won't really lose sleep over that. Like, if Liv's only going to be a 48-man thing, and yeah, there'll be a handful of lads I wish were there. In 5 years' time, there's going to be a new Bryson DeChambeau. There's going to be a new something else. Like, it just never ending. When Robbie Fowler retired from Liverpool, I thought I'd never watch football again. Like, there's been so many players since then. Michael Owen, Suarez, Torres. Like, there's always new heroes for people to look up to. I'll find new heroes.
Yeah, they're swallowing up these kids coming through as well. Like, you read reports now again, Mito Pereira's apparently on his way as well.
Then sure, as old as me, Mito Pereira.
He's new to the game. Like, I can't wait. The most exciting thing about all this is going to be the Netflix thing coming out. Hook me up.
I hope. They can hardly make a balls of that anyway, given the amount of
material. The script has just been the greatest script in the history of anything. It's going to, like, it's the best thing since Tin Cup.
Yeah, you'd wonder, like, if they're actual player interviews that they're getting on the side, like, off camera, so to speak, but on camera. Like, if they're adding a bit of juice to it and if they're getting much LIV commentary and how the balance is and stuff. It could definitely be really good, and it could... Again, if you play off that and if Netflix becomes this big thing, like, it did for F1, and maybe then you'll get an actual LIV versus PGA Tour versus DP World Tour or something, and golf goes in a completely bananas direction. Who knows? Like,
maybe we could scrap it. Like the President's Cup and scrap the scrap all that and just have LIV against.
Six months of the year can be gone. No bother. Yeah.
Just have LIV against PGA Tour and like in the off season, then against European Tour. Is that what we're?
I buy into it. Like I've no issue going for this good versus evil narrative. I'm all about it. But yeah, like that could actually happen. No doubt about it. The golf year is too long as it is. This new plan doesn't really seem that thought out if John Rahm isn't even on board with it. Like, he doesn't seem to know what's going on. It's bananas, like. But yeah, again, we're so early in it. I just think overall the last couple of weeks, despite today's announcement for LIV, have actually been good weeks for the PGA Tour. And a lot of that is down to Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Hear, hear. King Rory.
King Rory. Go on, Rory. He was partying with Lowry anyway. Had a bottle of red ready for Shane Lowry's name and a...
Yeah, worth about $30,000 a bottle of wine.
Stop. It's a long way for... Lowry and Coppers, and he's on the vodka Red Bulls. That man's changed. That man has changed.
How important, though? There's a question. How important is Rory McIlroy to golf now?
Ah, he hasn't saved golf, but he's definitely... He saved golf as we know it in terms of PGA Tour. Yeah, he's huge. I liked what he said. Like, whatever all the numbers and all the different things, like, but golf has been broken for years because you don't get the best players in the world playing together. Like, barely ever, 5 weeks a year. And McIlroy said, when I tune into a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, I expect to see Tom Brady throw football. And that's kind of what golf fans have been missing. So whatever way the PGA Tour come up with getting all these guys together, like, that is going to be the thing I think that makes people tune in and watch, because like, even strong golf fans that I know will only watch the players, the Irish Open and the majors. So like, the whole thing, McIlroy has kind of got the ball rolling on it. It's mad that it's taken this long for top players to realize that they are the reason people tune in to watch them playing against each other.
Yeah, but we get like we're talking about these elite fields and they're all pre-FedEx Cup. So you're talking about 20 events pre-FedEx Cup. This feeds into what John Rahm was saying. He's played 17 this season, including the FedEx Cup, played in everything, and he couldn't squeeze any more in. What does that leave us this side of the Atlantic with if all the best players are playing 20 events from January to August? It leaves us with nothing. Like, Irish Open is going to be grim going forward. We'd be blessed. Like, we have a Rory confirmation for next year. We mightn't see him after that.
Yeah. No, I know. Like, you would have hoped the 20 events would include a co-sanctioned Irish Open into Scottish Open, into the Open.
And this will be the reason. Like, this is the reason why we'll end up with the Irish Open in September.
Irish Open the week before at PGA doesn't bother me, or a week after Wentworth, one or the other.
A week after Wentworth would be pretty cool. But yeah, like, they're going to become the most prime dates now. So away from the majors and away from the main PGA Tour elite fields. Don't even try to mix it in there and try and... Like, can they scrap the European Tour season and just start it now? Like, do what the League of Ireland did and just have their season at a different time. It benefits them in Europe. Can the European Tour rewrite the script and say, right, we're moving, like, our event series will like our Race to Dubai end of year thing will actually take place when the Dubai Desert Classic takes place, the start of January, and have that sort of middly swing as the end of the European Tour season and go August, September, October, November, December for the European Tour and just hit it hard at those times, plus the majors, and have some smaller field events then the rest of the year to keep everyone that's not a European PGA. It's probably the only way they can actually serve up a premium product and try and attract a field. It's not a bad shout.
No, it's a good shout. And like, I'm just getting up to Race to Dubai standards here because, like, as things stand, like, what the hell is the European Tour? Like, you have McIlroy. McIlroy's winning. Will Zalatoris is second in the Race to Dubai, like... Maffitz, Patrick, Hovland, like, these lads have hardly stepped foot in Europe.
They've not stamped their passports out of the States in, like, God knows how long. Rory's coming to Italy. Well done, Rory.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you could almost say that, like, the European Tour is just a kind of a global, like, a traveling circus of exhibitions itself, because there's very little context to what's happening in the top 10 in that race to Dubai when it comes to the, like, Tour Championship. Yeah, I'm totally for it, Pete. Not a bad idea. Tear up the script. Why not? There's so much. I think now is the time, though. Like, it's never been more broken, so it definitely needs fixing.
And no matter what they do now is a positive thing. Like, just literally, if they go with something the total opposite, that's like that League of Ireland idea. It's worked for the League of Ireland clubs. Like, you just see they're qualifying into group stages in Europe now and doing different things. So it's benefited them. So it might benefit the European guys when all the Americans as well are kind of at the end of their season, or the guys at the top. It gives, you know, guys that are up and coming going up against a Rory McIlroy or a John Rahm when they're after playing 17, 18 events, and the lower ranked European Tour guys are a bit fresher because they weren't in all these end of season PGA Tour events. It gives them a chance to compete. If the PGA Tour could support them as like co-sanctioned type things in an international swing or do whatever, there has to be something chopped up like that. Like, otherwise it's dead.
Definitely. Well, like, that's basically what they're doing with the PGA Tour, is trying to reinvent the wheel on the fly. But, like, the hard thing about, like, changing the schedule is that they're locked into all these contracts, and they're, like, I don't know, long-term huge sponsors who've pledged so much money over and over, and now overnight players just want to rip this up and create this elevated event schedule. Like, it's very hard for them to do that, to do anything revolutionary. I'm not exactly sure where we are in Europe, like, considering the prize pots have been absolutely decimated over the last few years. You'd think to be loads of money supported by the UAE, DP World, oil rich, like, the world's your oyster there. But yeah, major change needed. At the end of the day, players aren't going to want to play a 12-month calendar. Like, it's hard. I'm glad I don't make the decisions, but it doesn't seem like Keith Pelly makes many either. So
yeah. Where do we go from here? We're on, like, you know, we've touched on, you know, the live stuff now for long enough. It feels like the whole year we've been going on. I'm happy it's hopefully going to die down a bit now, and, like, they have most of their players locked in for the year. We're not going to get any more of this distraction, I hope, between now and start of next year, and let's just go again. And then hopefully we get some clarity on the majors, on world ranking points, on all this sort of stuff, so we can actually plan our 2023 year and season ahead and see what way things are. But yeah, it's
bananas. Well, I guess the most interesting thing to happen today was Ryder Cup. We touched on it there, but next week qualifying starts at Wentworth. Massive event, massive field. As you said, Luke Donald, 6 captain's picks. You're only going to have 3 qualify from the European points list, 3 from the world points list. So that's like a bit of a revolution in Europe. And you have McIlroy there playing Wentworth and playing Italy for the first time, because the event's at the host venue, Marc Simoni Country Club. And yeah, like, that's, I guess, exciting for players in Europe. And it's a big, change of pace to give a captain 6 picks. Do you reckon they just have to now, given the way everything's
going? Oh, they have to. Like, I've seen guys online, and it just amplifies the stuff that we've been doing, going on about, like, you know, it's Wentworth. I think it's the first time in the history of the BMW PGA. So these 18 guys coming in from LIV and all the PGA Tour guys coming across to support the European Tour and playing the flagship event. Every one of these that confirms for this event is one of the guys that have given up their whole year to play in poxy events all year with crap prize funds compared to the rest of the world. They're not getting in. I think it's the first time in the history of BMW PGA Championship that not one of the tour graduates from last year's Challenge Tour cards are in the field.
Yeah, that's not one. That's sad. That's closed shop stuff, isn't it?
It totally is, and that's what pisses me off so much. Is like the staple of what we do week in, week out, is talking to your Gary Hurleys and, you know, your Cormac Sharvins and your Gavin Moynihans and all that, and like, if it was tough for them for the last 2 or 3 years and the Paul Dunns and all, like, it's becoming more and more impossible.
Big time. Well, sure, we have, what, the Maiden Himmerlands on this week. Niall Kearney's not even in it. I was like, well, he's definitely not into Wentworth, but I thought he'd get into Denmark. It's unbelievable. No. It's just so hard to get a start. I don't know where we are. We've added a heap of events. down the middle section, or down the end of the schedule. So there's 10 events now left before the Tour Championship in November, which is a lot, but like some of those events are worth next to nothing. I think there's three in
soulless.
Spain now.
Some of them are soulless like that. It's literally, yeah. They're looking to throw a few scraps to guys that have worked their arse off to get through the tour, get on, get off the Challenge Tour, get on. And they're throwing them a few scraps to try and let them get into the end of season event. But like, again, Rory's and the John Rams will just fly across to Dubai. You know, we might see Will Zalatoris coming across of his back heels after costing him $4.5 million. You see that? Like, that's the most expensive back injury ever. He was going in third place, was worth $5 million.
Yeah, I think so.
And like, so he pulls out, so he finishes last, the way that things work, and he's come away with $500,000.
It was brutal. Like, he won whatever he won, $3 million the week before, but Jesus, yeah, that was tough going. Even if he teed it up and just withdrew after a hole, would he have been entitled to more money?
No, because it goes on your final standings. This is why the rankings work. It goes on where you finish that week. So the strokes are the advantage that you get. Remember, they used to do it on points, and oh, if Rory holds this, it brings him back. So it's just literally done on strokes, which is why it's clever how it's evolved into this. But yeah, Will Zalatoris, once he didn't tee it up, he was always finishing last. So he was downgraded from, like, yeah, looking at third place, $5 million. Like, the money is astronomical when you flick through this, looking at it. Like, I haven't actually gone, like, top to bottom on it, but, like, $6.5 million each for Sung Jae-im and Scotty Scheffler, or $5.75 million each. Xander Schauffele, $4 million. Max Homa, Justin Thomas, $2.75 million. Seb Straka and Patrick Cantlay, $1.75 million each.
But there's a man, Seb Straka. He's had an absolute breakout year. Beat Lowry at the Honda. Like, there's still a land of opportunity over on that PGA Tour. Like, the kind of
Tom Hoagie.
Like, it makes me laugh when it's not like it's live for the payday or stay on the PGA Tour and get poor. Like, you're getting absolutely minted no matter where you go. Just maybe not in the DP World Tour.
No, flicking down, like, you still have, like, there's still, so, like, Sam Burns, great season. Still, like, finished 24th, 565 bonus. Scott Stallings, $500,000. Like, he needed it. Tigala there. No, there's still a good few guys making it through onto it, but it's just...
Lowry would be sick. Lowry really should have been there.
Stop. Well, it's his own fault, though. Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's that, like, he should have won that event. He should have won a couple of events this year, like in Hilton Head as well. He should have won. It's just such a pity he wasn't there, because his game... Never, like, Shane Lowry has never had as good a season stats-wise as this year, and he walks away trophyless. He'll be devastated. Yeah. And he didn't get to the Tour Championship. It's sad. It is sad. But, like, it's tied at the top, and that's it.
He
had the chance.
He seems to go without a bit of luck anytime I'm watching him. Like, he doesn't get, like, the 60-yard putt to go in, or, like, when you really need something just to happen out of nowhere. And, yeah, like, he still seems to have putting demons. There was a couple of tree putts in that. Was it the FedEx St. Jude that, like, hold them and literally... Yeah, he's in.
That's it. You're in 25th and you're handy, and it's handcuffs off. Because Shane Lowry in a field, in a limited field like that, is a dangerous man. Like, when he's striking the ball, he's as good as anyone in the world, you know?
Yeah. Stop. No, I'd say, yeah, he would be sick. A good year.
I seen he went back garden shopping when he missed by a shot. Did you see that on his Instagram stories? Wendy brought him out garden furniture shopping for missing out.
I love that. Someone commented, whereabouts is that in Offaly? Some gardens, it was like the bloody Bloom Festival over in the Phoenix Park with some of the amazing setups that they had. But where to go from there? I guess, like, you were already talking to Leona, but I suppose just a quick one on Women's Irish Open, because that was not guaranteed news.
Wasn't guaranteed news. No, she gave a good interview. So if anyone that hasn't heard, we stuck like a quick 15-20 minute podcast up there the other day. So if you just look back on the back catalogue of recordings. Yeah, she just went through the reasons why she's played her way form-wise into a high enough ranking on the race to CME Globe that she could actually afford to miss. It's like, it's a $2.5 million event she's given up to come over here and play the Irish Open now.
A once KPMG were, event.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like, a there's big, a big, and it's not about the money. It's the ranking points that she'll gain from, like, all she's doing is bolstering a field to give more ranking points to this event. But there's an obligation there. It's the first Irish Open back in 10, 12 years. If the season wasn't going as well, there's no way she would have been able to commit to it. And she's happy to come across and do it. So she literally went and played Dromoland last week, last Friday. And when she was finished, drove up to Slieve Russell. I was there in Slieve Russell. We had an Irish golfer event. And she called in for a half an hour and did a few bits with us. But no, it was good. She's in good form. She's just still tired. Like, she's going into a 5-week stint now, she was saying as well. And like, it's relentless. Like, it really is relentless. Like, it feels like 2 years ago she won that event, and it's only February.
It is mad. Yeah, these sprawling seasons. Yeah, like, I don't envy her position going into that Women's Irish Open. She's going to be absolutely like ravaged from all sides, from like media commitments, corporate, all the rest of it. I think she's only going to get one look at the course on the Wednesday for the Pro-Am. I know she played with Dermot there last week. But yeah, like, it's a big ask given the expectation that's going to be on her to produce. She'll probably be favourite, and yet she'll have the worst prep out of everyone in the field. But on the bright side, it sounds like she's on the negotiating table now, and we're going to have a better date and hopefully with it a better field next year. And that's all positive. Like, the main thing is just getting this one out of the way. Tickets are a bargain for this event. I think you get the weekly ticket for £30. Juniors are in free. Yeah. Maybe £15 a day. Dromoland's lovely. And it will, like, watch, Leona's one of a handful of the best golfers we've ever produced. So, like, people be mad not to go. It's hard to get your kids out of school on Thursday or Friday, but I'd imagine the weekend be jammed.
No, it will be good. It will be good. Like, the event needed Leona as well. Like, I know, hopefully we get to see Olivia Mahaffey. You know, it was sad seeing her update there the other day on, for personal reasons, stepping away and, you know, just getting down a road that she didn't expect to be down after the loss of her dad last year, and just getting in on top of her. And the golf course, it's just a reminder to people that a golf course, like, is a lonely place when external things like that are coming in on top of you. It's not a pretty place to be. And you've guys like us cutting apart sort of stats and results and sticking stuff up every year or every week and following your every move. You know, there's you're scrutinized when you're putting yourself out there. And hopefully she gets to spend a bit of time with her family now over the next couple of weeks, and get sit down and reassess things, and hopefully get herself back on the track that we all know she's well capable of forging on with.
Yeah, no, well said, Pete. I've nothing to add to that. But yeah, do you want a bit of a roundup?
Yeah, go on, you might as well.
I don't know if you watched much of that European Masters. I didn't, because it was not pleasurable viewing from an Irish point of view.
I've seen George Clooney, that's about it.
I did as well. Jesus, Iona Stevens did well to keep herself together. That man is fierce. She was
shaking. She was shaking.
He's a smooth operator, George Clooney.
The cameraman was trying to lick him and everything. Like, he's just, oh.
he's a god. But yeah, no, Thurston Lawrence beat Matt Wallace. Good to see Matt Wallace out of the woodwork. Haven't seen him playing well for a long time. But, like, talking about golf being, yeah, nowhere to hide. Like, it was only the week before we were writing about Cormac Sharvin, best result ever on the European Tour. And then comes out and she was 9-over-79 the first day. There was a bit of a weather delay the second day, and he withdrew, I'm sure, just to be able to catch a flight on the Friday. So yeah, golf is just so hard. Like, Niall Carney was 9-over. Paul Dunne was 4-over. Caldwell actually paid okay. I think he was 2-under, but missed the cut. Like, it's absolutely brutal for these lads. No start this week for Niall Carney. But for the likes of Caldwell, Dunne, Gavin Moynihan, who made the cut last week, albeit finishing well down the field on the Challenge Tour, they're all into Denmark this week. Top 10 this week and you're into the BMW. It's massive, but, like, it's a bloody big ask for lads who are just not in top 10.
Not carrying much form in.
Yeah.
I seen Rory McGee retired as well last week.
Maybe similar reason. I didn't actually.
Was it? Yeah. I didn't go and check, but I seen he retired last week.
There was a lot of weather delays and stuff, and I guess if lads are missing flights, like, I was chatting to David Carey a couple of weeks ago, and he paid like €1,200 for his flights to Prague. like the Ryanair cheap flights are gone. Like these lads are getting absolutely destroyed flight wise. So, and a lot of them are flying into airports or like a 5 hour drive away just to save a few quid. And yeah,
it costs 10 grand to rent a car.
Yeah, like there's
it's bonkers.
It is absolutely bonkers. Oh, stop. Did you see all the electricity up in price and all? I saw some lad in our timeline telling us that golf clubs aren't going to, like clubhouses around Ireland aren't going to be able to turn on the lights this winter. Like it's, yeah.
It is going to be a thing. It is going to be a thing. I was reading a report this morning. We're getting seriously deep on this though, but like a cafe in Longford or somewhere, I think it was. Cafe in Longford. So their electricity bill from the end of June to the end of July. A cafe. So they're not open at night time. They close at like 6-7 o'clock in the evening. They're open for breakfast all day. Their electricity bill was $9,500.
Jesus Christ.
For that period. Like, how can you run a business? How, like, we're talking about golfers doing that, but like it's bonkers. We're getting into a whole new level of stuff for the golf industry.
You need to get yourself an air fryer. Now stop using the oven. It's like, Jesus, give me a break. Yes, anyway, before I cry on the podcast, Paul McBride had his best ever Challenge Tour finish. T13. Yeah. That was really good in Sweden. His first reserve this week in Belgium. So it'd be really nice if he could get in there, a bit of form, clearly. So in terms of Challenge Tour, there's 6 events left before the grand final. So top 70 will get their card. I have lads like Tom McKibben there, Rory McGee, they're all in the running to actually get promoted to the DP World Tour.
If Tom needs a good week. Tom needs one good week. He slipped down a little bit lately. Like he's, I think he's 17th, 18th on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah, big Irish contingent. Robin Dawson, John Murphy, Ronan Mullarney's in, Gary Hurley, Conor Purcell there as well. So yeah, a lot of interest in that event in Belgium. Harrington, almost a dream, the back-to-back didn't quite happen. Open with an eagle, didn't have his game after that. He's just killing it over there though. 14 events, 14 made cuts, 8 top 10s, 2 wins, something like 2.1 million now in the bank. He's 350 grand behind Stephen Aker in the Charles Schwab money list thing. He wants to win that. I think he's going to play Wentworth and then he'll do a serious push. 7 events left before the Tour Championship over there. But yeah,
for a man that wasn't going to play in many of the events, he gets a sniff at the top of the thing and he's going, actually, I'm going to play in all of these now. I'm going to play in every single one and I'm actually thinking of buying the jet again.
Yeah, proper Gosh. Order. He is absolutely killing it. That's it. He's going to make serious coin over the next 10 years over there. But yeah, great to see anyway. Just on the home front, Leinster dominated the Interpros in Moy Valley. Sounded like it was a really good event. Sounded like course was in great nick. I think the men and women won like big singles push in the last day. And yeah, well done to them. The World Amateur Team Championships, I think it was Lauren Walsh, Anna Foster, and Beck Coulter. It was tied 16th in the end. Decent showing. Sweden picked America, so it went very much to form. Count back on non-counting cards, apparently, so very bloody tight. Then Shane Jenkinson of the Island won the Newcastle West Pro-Am, shot at 65. Savage scoring on the region. 11 players broke par. I think 9 broke 70, so that's serious going. Royal Port Rush's Jack Madden, he's into stage 1 of Corn Ferry Q School, which is very cool. Still an amateur, completed his junior year in Arkansas. Like, you never know, get a Corn Ferry card, you're
that's it, free
there.
Roll of the dice. Free roll of the dice as an amateur playing in these things. It's good to see these Q schools getting back though. Like, we're going to have a full European Tour Q School later on this year as well, for the first time in 3 years. So there'll be a lot of guys looking to tee it up. There'll be a lot of guys, you know, with statuses that qualified them into the final round, like a Paul Dunne and stuff like that, hoping for a good week.
Yeah, you say free roller dice. I don't know if it's the same for Jack, but 6 grand for David Carey to play Corn Ferry Q School. So it's this expensive roller of the dice, I would say.
Yeah. Do amateurs have to play the same if they play their way in?
I don't know.
And qualify like that?
I actually have no idea. But like no one golf.
The college.
The closed shop
college
golf,
will foot the bill.
Yeah, that's right, actually.
College will foot the bill.
Go on the scholarships.
Be grand.
Yeah, 100%. But no, that's kind of it.
You said this scholarship was full board. I'm after qualifying for this. You owe me 6 grand.
Yeah, that's a killer. But no, that's it on the round up front. Not as busy a week upcoming this week, but yeah, it's kind of the focus shifts now very much to Europe. So yeah, hopefully the lads can do something for a big end of year push. Nothing on EuroPro this week, nothing on satellite tours. So yeah, just challenging Deeper World Tour.
Perfect. No, well, we're going to do heroes and villains. Do you have a hero and a villain?
Listen, Rory McIlroy is the hero of the piece. I'm sure he's your hero as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, unbelievable.
My man crush.
How any man cannot like that man. Wears his heart in his sleeve, says what he thinks. He tells his truth in the moment. He might contradict it down the line, but at least there's no bullshit with him. And he lets his golf do the talking when it matters. I really think he's going to win a major next year. That's the first year I've actually thought that in at probably six, I'd say.
You don't know how much these words mean to me that has been saying this since 2017, 18, 19. He's going to win. He's going to do it. And then you're like, Pete, no, he's not. Yeah. He's not.
Nah, and nah, I've just, always just been he's not. Yourself. But nah, this year just felt different. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win the Masters. That one always comes with that extra caveat. But yeah, I just think he has the mind game now to match the physical one at long last.
Yeah.
Do you have a villain?
But we have to stop avoiding this villain being like, do you know what I'm gonna do? Lee Westwood. He came across as a bell end all week on everything that he put his hand to, be a Twitter, social, any form of social media. Just he was just being petty. Just no need for it. I actually like Lee Westwood. I've always been a big fan. Love him as a player, but yeah, there's no need to rub in people's face. I think Eddie Pepl read the room well and summed it up well.
100%. I think Lee Westwood has been nicely overpaid given his form recently, so I've no issue with him. Ian Poulter, I'd put in that bracket as well. He was given out that he couldn't make enough videos from the last event that he was at, as if people are hanging by Poulter's videos. Yeah, a lot of pettiness going on there, so the two boys can have it.
No, that's it. I think that's all from us this week. Thanks, as always, to TaylorMade for supporting the pod. We got to see two nice stealth drivers in the last group. One of them not hitting it so well in Scotty, but Rory McIlroy, you know, you look through his bag, see what he's doing. A lot of serious equipment there. So, yeah, take a look at the new TaylorMade stealth driver. Not so new anymore, but, like, yeah, plenty of stuff to choose from. From us, we will be back again next week. Cheers, as always, Jonner, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And cheers to you guys at home for listening. And we'll be back next week. You can keep in touch with us through all of the usual social channels at Irish Golfer Mag or at irishgolfer.ie on all of our social channels, or visit irishgolfer.ie for the latest golf news and everything that's going on this week. And we'll have a rundown of all the Irish guys at all the tournaments. So until next week, cheers for tuning in. Thanks as always, and chat to you soon.